It's the Southwest Arkansas Sports Page on the Air, brought to you by Dr. Randy Walker, Simple Simons, Ayers Cleaners, and Leopard Care Clinic, your weekly local sports podcast. And now, here's your hosts, Greg Revels and Tony Stowers.
And we're back with episode 32 of the Southwest Arkansas Sports Page on the Air. We've got all the Southwest Arkansas high school sports you could ever ask for. And we've got some other things to talk about. Since it's episode 32, we thought we would talk about the number 32 and all the great athletes.
And you're assuring me that's not that terrible Jim Carrey movie?
No.
Okay.
It's not that terrible Jim Carrey
movie.
Did
you watch that one?
I did watch it.
Yeah.
Until I went out for a smoke and I didn't come back.
Yeah, that's it was the one movie I've ever I walked out of the movie theater.
Yeah.
That bad? And that was, it was $2 day. It was like $2 Tuesday. And I was like, I want my $2 back.
But you left anyway. You didn't get your $2 back, but you left anyway, right? No, this is about famous 32s. And man, there are so many of them. And Tony came up with this, but I think that he, you know, you've got a theory on this too, right?
Well, you know, everyone my dad's age, right around my dad's age, and my dad is 81. The Cleveland Browns were the team. The Cleveland Browns were the Dallas Cowboys of my dad's day. And Jim Brown, many people
hard to imagine.
Yeah, and I know. And many people still believe that, and that generation definitely believes Jim Brown is the greatest football player, probably the greatest athlete in professional sports history. He wore 32.
Yeah.
So I think a lot of dads, their kids wore 32 in tribute to Jim Brown. Mm. And I think that's why we got a lot of 32s today. I could be completely wrong about that, but I think I haven't heard a better theory.
Yeah. Well, you know, something interesting about Jim Brown, just to go, that he was an All-American lacrosse player also.
Yeah.
I mean, he was an athlete now.
Lacrosse, huh?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. At Syracuse.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah. And then played for the Cleveland Browns. Great.
Lacrosse is good.
Yeah.
Why don't we get where's the national lacrosse league, the NLL?
There is one.
There is?
Yeah.
Why don't I see it on ESPN? Why
it's
is it on ESPN
on
8? It's on the Ocho?
Yeah. Off the cornhole.
Pickleball's up there, too.
That's though. Right.
Yeah.
But, you know, so who's your favorite number 32? I know who it is.
Well, it's Franco Harris.
Sure it is.
Of course.
The guy who – Joe Green put the Steelers on the map. That draft pick changed the whole kind of destiny of the franchise. But Franco Harris, that catch kind of made him legitimate. And
you know what's interesting about that?
You're going to say that ball hit the ground?
No. No. I'm not going to say that. But the guy that it bounced off of, Jack Tatum,
yeah,
number 32.
That's exactly right. I hadn't even thought about that.
Yeah. So there's an
32 interesting, may be the key to the universe.
Yeah, it may be, at least in the sports universe.
But and you and Tuttle, when we were texting back and forth, were coming up with even more than I did. But but even Sandy Koufax, Raleigh Fingers, Steve Carlton, Dave Winfield, Tim Raines, Magic Johnson, Carl Malone, Kevin McHale, Marcus Allen, O.J. Simpson.
Yeah.
And that's just the beginning.
The juice.
Yeah, Dr. J.
Yeah.
I mean,
and y'all came up with an Arkansas connection on 32.
Yeah, Sidney Moncrief.
That's exactly right.
And he was great, too. Great college basketball player. Great pro basketball player. Excuse me, I'm sorry. You know, I even...
You know who didn't wear 32? Larry Bird.
That's true.
Did you mention Shaq?
Shaq wore 32.
Yeah, Shaq wore 32.
That's exactly right.
But, you know, I we can argue about this. I pulled up a list of the greatest athletes to wear 32, and it's numbered.
Yeah.
So you want to go through that just for a minute?
Is there 32 of them?
I don't know.
Okay. Well, yeah.
But let's look at the number one, according to this,
is got nothing but time,
Magic,
right?
Johnson.
Magic Johnson?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, how can you? I mean, you can't argue against Magic Johnson.
You cannot.
I mean, I would argue that with you, Jim Brown's the greatest 32 ever. I think I agree with what you're saying. A lot of people wore 32 because of him, but Magic Johnson, great. And then they got Shaquille is number two.
Yeah,
and can't argue with that. Jim Brown's number three. Dr. J's number four.
So they went basketball.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of it, but still one of the greatest dunks I've ever seen.
Oh.
In a real game.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, this isn't.
Well, one day we're going to do this, our starting five NBA All-Star team all time.
Yeah.
When we get Cody in here.
Yeah.
And it'll be interesting to see. There'll be a few we have in common, and there'll be a few we have different.
Yeah. Sandy Koufax, number five.
Yeah.
He's great pitcher. Carl Malone.
I got to see Carl Malone play in person. Marshall drew Tech in NIT when I was in school, and Malone played for Tech. Yep.
Blake Griffin, 32 for the Clippers.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Steve Carlton, O.J. Simpson, Kevin McHale, Marcus Allen, somebody we hadn't talked about really.
Yeah, he's on the list.
Yeah, he's on there. Yeah. Yep. But he was a great player. Dave Winfield.
Yeah.
Here's one, Bill Walton.
Bill Walton.
You know,
a lot of people, you either love or hate Bill Walton, the call of game.
Yeah.
I think, I'm not going to say it. Go ahead.
Yeah, it depends on how many doobies he smoked before the game.
Well, now that you said that, I'll just go ahead and say his
32 of
his
them.
Game preparation, I think, is like that. Peruse the roster, go out, have one, come back in, call the ball game.
That's right. Yeah. That's
seems
right.
To work for him.
Yeah, he's still there. But you know, I'm going to tell you, and I remember when he played when Portland won the NBA championship. There wasn't anybody better than him.
No, you couldn't stop him.
No, he was unstoppable. You know, of course, you got Franco, which he should be higher. Here's one for you old schoolers that I hadn't thought about till I looked at this list. Mike Curtis,
yeah,
linebacker for the Baltimore Colts.
Yeah.
He was one mean son of a gun.
You guys are missing a big one. Big one.
Who's that?
Michael Jordan's statue in Dubai they accidentally put 32.
Who happens to be the best player of all time.
Yes, so come on. It's also a horrible looking statue. So.
Well, they put 32 on it?
They put 32.
That's crazy.
I'll tell you what, you know, and it would be an interesting, you know, show when we don't have anything else to talk about, but I'm not sure there's a number more polluted with good ball players than 32.
No. Mm. Well, and you talk about every sport. I mean, yeah. We're in, you know, Claude Lemieux.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which I didn't say that right.
Claude Lemieux?
Lemieux.
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 Yeah. Is he hockey?
Yeah.
That's the way they say it in West Virginia.
He's hockey. Yeah.
Lemieux.
What'd that cow say? Lemieux. That's when they're speaking French.
Yeah, that's a French cow.
Yeah.
Lemieux.
Hey, there's people back home that listen to this.
Well, they won't figure out what we're talking about.
Well, that's pretty cool, man. Lots of good players wear that number.
Yeah, and Tony came up with that since it's episode 32. I think that's pretty cool. I knew who his favorite number 32 was, and of course, my favorite 32 is going to be Sidney Moncrief, just because I love Arkansas and the Razorbacks. But can't say anything bad about Franco Harris. Great football player. Let's get into the Southwest Arkansas high school sports of last week.
A
little bit of rain, so some of the games got canceled out. Probably going to be a trend for the rest of the spring till we have to play 42 games on the last week of the regular season.
You and I will be pitching for the Leopards because they'll be out of pitches.
That's right. It run down. They'll be all the way down to
– How many pitches you got, Tony? Got 29. Well,
I can't pitch 29 times. My arm won't last 29, so I don't have to worry about it. But anyway, Leopards so-so week.
Split.
They split. They lost to Nashville 17-5, beat Hope 9-4 in a really good – I mean, that was a great game.
It was.
They played really well. I think we can be honest here, right? They played really – they weren't ready to play at Nashville in the way – it didn't look like it to
us. No, and I imagine that when we get them here, we're going to play much better.
Yeah.
But I would say that – Coach Mag and Coach Crocker would tell you the same thing, that you know we need to play better than that.
Yeah, I think so. But Hope, a great win. Of course, this week's spring break, So no games this week. Lady Leopards split also. They had a win against Hope 7-0. We got to do that game. Interesting with the Lady Leopards and Hope is that that's 14 in a row over them that we have. But they're always close games. And I know you say, 7-0 is not close, but it really was.
It was 1-0 going into the fourth inning.
Yeah, and they left 8 or 9 runners on base.
Small village.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, it could have been, one hit here or there, and it could have been a lot different for them. And a lot of close games. And I would say this, and I mean no offense to it, but it doesn't seem like they play well against Hope a lot of times, Tony.
I would agree with that. Yeah. Last year we barely got by them out there, like 8-6, got mm-hmm. down 6-0. Mm-hmm. I love Chad Lights, but he let the girls know in ways that Chad can do that we're better than this.
Yes.
And we played better than that the last couple innings, pulled that game out. And it just does seem like we have a letdown, and I'm not sure why that is.
Yeah. Well, I don't know why either, but I just think that it's like I said, you can't fault the record. We won 14 times against them, but it's always tough. And then they go to Malvern Thursday night and lose 16-5.
A little bit closer on that. Thank you.
Well, I think that Malvern is going to they're going to beat a lot of people.
Yeah,
and we give them a much better game down here last year, and I think that will happen again. But Malvern and Nashville, pretty much the class of the league.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And we knew that coming in.
Yeah.
I think, when you look at it, when you look at our league, I think we're probably looking at third, fourth, realistically.
Much like basketball. Yeah. That was what we saw in basketball.
Yeah.
There was going to be 1 and 2, and then there was going to be a log jam at 3, 4, 5, and 6.
Yeah.
Mm. And you're either in 3 or 4 or you're not, or you're just out.
Yeah.
So.
Yep. And I think that's probably the same thing. And going to talk about soccer. Soccer was Lady Leopards had a 3-0 win over MENA. Goals scored by Aileen.
That's a good
Aileen.
Yeah,
Hernandez.
Yep.
Nancy Martinez and Vianney Dominguez. That makes me hungry.
Very good. Lost a box site later that week 2-1. Leopards had a big week, 10-0 over MENA, and box site 4-0 over MENA, 6-0 over box site.
I'm a big fan of the game, and I've been running the games here and watching the DQ TV cast while it was going on, and I gotta say, man, they are super, super impressive. Really good with their fundamentals and passing. There's nobody who's trying to be a hero on that team. They're all trying to work together, and how much you can talk with the eyes, right?
Yeah.
Just like in football, these guys know exactly where they need to be and stuff. I've been super impressed and watching each one of the games on DQ TV and super into it.
Well, and the other thing about it is I watched them last Wednesday against Bauxite for about 10 minutes because it was already 3-0.
Exactly.
So, I mean, they just dominated Bauxite.
Yeah.
And of course, Bauxite was supposed to be good.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway. But
they're talking so well. That's what I could tell, the chemistry on the team and the way that their passing game is very, very, very good.
Yeah.
So that's fundamental, right?
Yeah. Tony, who are we going to go with for our shelter insurance player of the week?
Well, for this pick, we consulted our brother Stephen Sloan, and he goes with Angel Gonzalez. And he had a great week last week, soccer player for our Woods Agency Shelter Insurance Leopard Player of the Week.
Good.
So congratulations, Angel. Great week for you, and you're our Player of the Week for the Leopards.
Love it. Well, I know we're going to be talking about Ashdown next, so maybe take a quick second to talk about Ashdown Veterinary Clinic, as well as DeQueen Animal Hospital. Ashdown Veterinary Clinic at 139 Southern Drive down in Ashdown, 870-898-5181. And then DeQueen Animal Hospital at 1690 Highway 70 West, convenient location right here in DeQueen, 870-642-8387 to schedule an appointment today.
Vets.
That's correct. Look at all those amazing reviews on their Google review page. 267 reviews, 4.9 out of 5. That's all you need to know about. They are an absolute awesome place to take your fur babies, and they do great boarding, as this review here says. All the staff take great care of my cat and two dogs when I go out of town. Mm-hmm. So that's something you don't have to worry about calling your neighbor to come and feed them, or wanting, you know, getting your cousin to come over and take your dog for the weekend or something. Take them over to DeQueen Animal Hospital or Ashdown Veterinary Clinic and have them watch your pets over the weekend while you're out. And this is the time we need to start thinking about flea and tick medication and prevention, as well as heartworm medication, which is year round. So they've got you covered.
Yep, that you can get it all there. And I think that there's nobody better to take care of Southwest Arkansas than Martin Veterinary Clinic, which is at the Queen Animal Hospital and Ashdown Veterinary Clinic.
That's right.
And so you can see them. They've got Southwest Arkansas covered.
I love it. Ashdown Veterinary Clinic, DeQueen Animal Hospital, covered down here. Well, we've got a Mr. Jim Cross on the line.
Jim, good to have you with us today. You're here to talk about all things Ashdown sports for the past week.
Yeah, it's been a good week, guys. We watched, I got to watch three games this week, one softball and two baseball. And the girls won both their conference games. They're 2-0 in the conference and played very well against Camden Fairview, and played very well against Arkadelphia, and came away with two conference victories. So they're 3-0 in conference. The game I did was against Genoa, and quite frankly, they didn't play very well. Mm-hmm. And but they played three games in 3 days and were able to come away with two conference victories. And so I visited with the team on Thursday, and Bradley Day was just ecstatic after those two conference victories. And to be able to, you know, play three games in 3 days and win those games, and they won them very decisively too, with great pitching from Matty Troop and Zaniah Alexander. And then Kylie Irwin was kind of the hitting star of all three games, and she hit a home run the game I was there. And she's the catcher, and I mean, she's just as good as they get. And she has some college scouts there looking at her, and so she really had a big week for the Lady Panthers.
Well, you know, Jim, Greg and I were talking earlier in the show about our conference and how it's going to be Nashville and Malvern. You know, they're going to be in that top four, and then it may be a lot like basketball, where there's a log jam at 3, 4, 5, 6, with three or four teams competing for two spots to get to the next level.
Yeah, it seems very similar to basketball, like you say. And you know, we're at this point, guys, you just want to make it to the regional, win that one game and get to state, and anything can happen. And you know, once you get to state, seeding doesn't really, in my opinion, seeding doesn't really matter that much. And so just keep playing hard, playing well, and they're getting better. And especially with the girls, I mean, they're fast. You know, they're very athletic. They can hit the long ball, and they can also bunt. And they're pitching. They've got three pitchers, and so they're very, very solid. And you got a great catcher in Kylie Irwin. Carriel Forbes, a shortstop, is going to UAPB, I believe. And so I mean, you've got some, you know, college players out there. So it's a very, very good conference and a very good team.
Well, it sounds like it. It sure does. I can attest that Forbes, she's a great athlete.
Mm. Yeah, she hits the ball as hard. I mean, I want this to be a positive statement. She hits the ball like a boy. I mean, the ball just explodes off her bat. And I mean, even on an out, I mean, every ball is just hit so hard, and she's so strong. And, you know, I saw her one game last year where she hit a home run to left field and then the right field. And you just don't see that much in softball, where girls will take the ball out of the ballpark on the opposite field, and the Carriel can hit it out anywhere.
So what are the what are Lady Panthers overall, Jim?
I believe we are 8-1. Genoa is the only loss.
Same
we've
as
had
the Lady
so
Leopards.
Far.
Collision course, man.
how'd you enjoy those facilities Friday night?
Well, Tyler kind of knows I got a little chilly. I for some reason, you would think at my age I would take a jacket, but I wore short sleeves, going to be the tough guy. And by about the second inning, I was freezing to death. But
the end of the game, his teeth were chattering.
Yeah, they were. But the good, and to make it even worse, we even lost a boot. So yeah.
You made it that game that they just left too many runners on the bases, right?
Yeah, it was a very frustrating game. We out hit them. They had four errors to our zero, but we could not get a key hit to save our soul. We had runners on base every inning, most of the time two runners on base, and never could get the big hit. And they had two big innings, and they won 4-2. And nothing against Arkadelphia, but you kind of felt like that we had the better team.
Yeah.
And it was just kind of one of those days, and we just couldn't. Our pitching was pretty good. Grayson Porter, I'm telling you guys, he pitched Tuesday against Camden Fairview, came in to relieve Walt Jones and threw four innings and struck out eight in four innings. And then he struck out another five or six in three innings against Arkadelphia out of the pen. And they had a couple scouts there that I was visiting with after the game, and they had him clocked as high as 90 miles an hour. And he was consistently at 88, and he's got a curveball that makes my back hurt just watching it.
Yeah.
And so he's as in tune as I've seen him. You know, he's always had good stuff. It's always about control. And, well, when he's on, he is tough. And so – you know, we feel like with the boys, just get a little bit more hitting, and the pitching is solid with him and Walt Jones and Kyler Jones, and with Grayson coming out of the pen, I mean, we're in great shape on the mound.
Wow, that sounds. And what are the boys overall now, Jim?
The boys are 2-1 in conference, and I believe 6-3 overall.
So the boys and Lady Panthers off to a good start.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah, and the boys, they go to. Plaski, they go to Joe T. Robinson for Thursday, Friday, and Saturday for three games. And I believe they play like Joe T. They play like Hamilton and somebody else that's pretty good. So they'll get a good test and to see where we stand. And those tournaments are always good to be a part of.
Oh, absolutely. Those tournaments do a couple of things. One, you're playing up, you all playing up, you know, a division or two and yes. Playing good competition. But two, those tournaments, those especially the back-to-back games, really test your pitching, because on the pitch count, you know, you go over, it's 29 or 30 pitches, you can't pitch the next day, and crazy. Yes. So that sounds like a good plan for the Panthers.
And Jim, I got a question for you. I know the softball girls played three games in 3 days. Were those scheduled that way, or did y'all move them around because of the weather?
Moved the game to Wednesday because of the weather. It was originally scheduled for Friday, and so they moved it to Wednesday. So they were originally going to play Monday, Tuesday, and Friday.
Right. Okay. I just a thought. Might want to talk just for a minute about next year. the Panthers are going to be moving down to 3A. Got in a new conference with Bismarck, Camden, Harmony Grove, Center Point, Fout, Genoa Central, Prescott, and Smackover. So,
fellas, to be honest, that's probably about where we belong anyway. In basketball, we obviously had a tough season, but even with one of our better teams, we're going to always struggle with Magnolia, Camden, Fairview. Yeah, I mean, playing teams like that, I mean, like I say, even in our best years, yeah, we're going to be a little overmatched with those guys.
Arkadelphia is always very athletic. Hope's very athletic. You know.
Yeah, and so I think this is probably more at our level. Now, I'll take a step back and say when we were there in that league a couple of years ago, Center Point is as good as anybody you'll see as far as being a very technical team. They can shoot the three. You know, they're not as athletic, but as far as just pure basketball skill, Center Point's always a really good team. And I think that we got at least a chance, because let's be honest, fellas, this last year there were games that we didn't have a chance in because, I mean, they were just so big and athletic. You know, you guys played those teams as well.
We understand. Yeah.
And I'm certainly not saying we're going to just run through the conference, but at least you feel like that we can compete. And really, at the end of the day, guys, that's all you want to do is compete and have a shot. And
right.
I think this is more realistic of what we can do as a school.
Well, and you and Greg may be able to answer this better than me. This thing, this letter, or was an email from the AAA, says basketball. Will this apply to most or all the minor sports, or just basketball?
I think it's all sports other than football.
Okay.
Yeah, that's my understanding. Anytime they do this, it's everything but football, which I've always thought is interesting how we make that decision.
I always thought that maybe they pick conferences like you do, like at Christmas when you're going to do a gift exchange and you put everybody's name in a hat. I got Uncle Ralph, so I got to get Uncle Ralph a tie. I thought that's the way AAA did the conferences, but apparently not. They put some thought into it.
Your idea makes sense, actually.
I'm not sure they did put some thought into it. I think you're giving them too much credit.
Okay.
But the thing about it is, Jim, I mean, I agree with you 100%. You know, we'd be much better suited to be playing in your conference.
Yes.
In all these sports than we will be in ours. And unfortunately, they don't do that. You know, somehow I wish they would put in some kind of win-loss indicator into where you get to move down, or you know they've got it now where if you win enough you move up a classification.
Yes.
Ask Pulaski Academy about that.
But I
think they ought to have it where you can move down also. You know,
it's interesting you guys say that because before Coach Richardson left, he was telling me about him and Coach Embry at Warren, and I forget, there were four or five coaches that had gotten together and they made a proposal similar to what you guys are speaking of, and divide like 4A and 5A. I don't want to say the haves and the have-nots, but to kind of have a different level to where, like, for example, in 4A, Waldron doesn't have to play Arkadelphia and Nashville.
Yeah.
I mean, because that's just not even comparable. And so you would have it divided into halves. And then if you're in that bottom tier and you won that division, then next year you would move up to the other division, and conversely the team that maybe went 0-8 or whatever would move down. Yeah. And I know that's complicated and hard, but I'm afraid that's the only thing that's going to keep this competitive. Otherwise you're gonna have everybody wanting to go play 8-man.
Yeah, that's right. And you know, and one that's that brings, and we're talking about this, so I'm going to go ahead and talk about it.
Go ahead.
But the thing about it, it's like the Queen. We now have in all sports except football, we have six people in our conference.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, but they left Camden Fairview in there.
Yeah.
Which would be much better suited to be in 4A8.
Yeah.
Travel-wise, and they could have put Fountain Lake in our conference, but, you know, Fountain Lake doesn't want to be in our conference, so they put them in the 4A5 South because they probably told them they weren't going to come back and play football if they didn't put them over that way or something. You know, I know Coach Richardson's going up there, and they're going back to 11-man, but they've been in 8-man ever since they got put in Nashville's conference.
Nashville and
Arkadelphia and Malvern. And I understand what you're saying, but the thing about it is, we never get that.
No, we don't. Uh-huh.
We don't get to choose, you know, and I think that down here in Southwest Arkansas, and, you know, I'm just like you. I mean, us being competitive with the teams that are in our conference is really difficult, especially in football.
Oh, football, you guys got no – I mean, you guys, we couldn't put our team together, your team together, every team in Southwest Arkansas together and beat Parkview.
No. No, you could not have a four, seven, A all star five. It would be 5 South all star team, and beat Parkview.
Yeah. No.
No, you couldn't. You couldn't. And on a normal year, you can't compete with Camden Fairview. You can't compete with Magnolia. You can't compete with Hot Springs Lakeside. And Hot Springs is good now, so now you can't compete with those guys. So basically, it's you guys and Hope.
Yeah.
And that's no fun.
No. And thus, you know, as long as the AAA is unwielding about how they're going to set this thing up, you're going to see a lot of teams who have the numbers to play 11-man football going to play 8.
Yeah.
I the simple solution to me, and I've talked to this, I'm blue in the face, let everybody play who they want, set up a point system, and then rank the teams at the end of the season. You know, you play local, you come up with rankings based on who you beat and who they beat, and then in the playoffs, maybe you got to go to the other end of the state, but you shouldn't have to go to the other end of the state to play a regular season conference game.
No. Yeah, I mean, the playoffs, you understand that. I mean, that's just part of it. But, the rest of it is, and just like, you guys know our situation here. The next three, we'll be decent next year. But then after that, I mean, our junior high program, we've won like one game in 2 years. And our seventh grade team struggled. I'm not even sure they won a game either. And so the next 3 or 4 years, I mean, we're going to struggle to be competitive in a bad conference. And so in our conference, I mean, we'll get, it's going to be really, really hard to compete against Arkadelphia, Malvern, and Nashville and those guys when we're down. I mean, we have a hard enough time competing with them when we're up.
Yeah.
It's a tough cycle. It's going to be tough, I'm afraid.
So to change subjects just for a minute, Jim, Coach Richardson left, went to Fountain Lake. I assume he's gone now, but I think spring break was when he was going to move up there and start so he could do spring practice up there, if I read correctly. And so I haven't heard if you've hired a new coach. Have y'all got anybody or you got any thoughts on that? Or are you willing to share any thoughts on that?
Well, I've been told several names, several guys have applied. I think we've got a pretty good pool to choose from, but there's been no decision made. And I'm assuming with it being spring break, maybe we would hear something possibly next week.
Okay.
Hopefully, because we got to get somebody in here.
Sure.
Maybe have some news for us next week.
Yeah, hope so. Yeah, but there's just like in the Queen, everybody's got an idea of who it needs to be.
but
I've talked to some of the guys on the on the school board, and we've got a pretty good pool of names from what I've been told, and hopefully we can get the right guy in here, a guy that's similar to Coach Richardson, and that's the kind of guy we're looking for, mm-hmm. and that wants to be here, and in Coach Richardson's case, I mean we love Coach Richardson. He did a great job, and certainly wish him well at Fountain Lake. And he's going back home, and he'll do great there. And I just told him though. I said, when I visit Fountain Lake, I don't want to be sitting outside like I was last time.
You have a little more pull up there now.
Yeah. Last time they gave me some beat up table and put me outside. And I said, we're not going to have that anymore.
Well, when we go, we're going to have you call for us too.
Okay, good. Yeah, there you go.
Hey, man, we appreciate all the info.
Missed you last week, brother.
I think we still got to do one thing.
Yep.
We got to have a Horatio State Bank Panther Player of the Week.
Wow, that's tough. I'm going to go Grayson Porter with his pitching.
Okay.
Yeah, good choice.
Yeah, it sounded like he had a great week, and I can't wait to see
him. Me either.
Yeah.
Me either.
That sounds good. Well, Jim, we appreciate you so much and for all you do for Panthers. And just to throw a little plug your way, you're fixing to go for a little walk, right?
Yeah, I got a little 30-mile walk coming up April the 20th, and I've been training hard, and a lot of money's coming in, a lot of activities we're going to have on the day of the event.
I've always heard the first 2 miles are the hardest. Maybe we'll go up and do those with Jim, kind of support him a little bit.
I don't think I can walk 2 miles.
Well, see, what you guys could do, though, y'all could come to the big event, and we're going to have live music, going to have bingo, going to have great food. It's going to be a kids' event. Man, it's going to be a great time. While I'm out walking, you guys can be having fun and eating.
That sounds more my style. Right there. That sounds more my style. But, man, that's a great thing you do for the community there.
Absolutely.
And we appreciate it, and I know everybody in Ashdown appreciates it and appreciates you. Thank you so much for everything you do and for us especially. We'll talk to you soon, Jim.
Hey, enjoy, guys. Have a great week.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, big thanks to Jim Cross. And now we have, for the second week in a row, some very special local in-studio guests to talk about the eclipse.
With Matt Webb, Suzanne Babb, and Angie Walker to talk about the eclipse, we've got some more tips for you as the eclipse is rapidly approaching. Angie?
So I would say, again, some just kind of useful tips this week. If you're an employee, especially if you're my employee, please allow yourself some extra time to get to work on April 8th.
In other words, they'll say, don't come in late saying you couldn't get to work.
Yeah, you done been warned. But, you know, the couple days before, the day of, and certainly a couple days after, we're going to have a lot of congestion on the roads. And so just be mindful that you're going to need extra time to travel. The day of the eclipse, our office, alongside the office of Cassie Schroer and I think Jessica Hauser, we're going to do some pop-up first aid stations around the county. We'll have one at the airport, one at the DeQueen Parks location, Gillum, Horatio, Locksburg, Ben Lomond, Paraloma area. And so we are going to have some spots where visitors can pop in if they're having issues or what have you, just to try to help with that traffic congestion.
Great.
And we'd suggest that since we don't know what the traffic is going to be like, but we are expecting lots of traffic jams on the road, it would not be a bad idea to pack like an emergency. What if I get stuck in my car for 8 hours? That would be
exciting. You mean some water and some beer and sausages?
Snacks. Wouldn't hurt to have I'm suggesting a pillow, and y'all may laugh, but it has happened before where people have been caught in their car from anywhere to 4 to 48 hours. So I don't expect it to be that long here in Sevier County, but always prepare just in case.
So you need toilet paper, too.
You always need toilet paper.
That's right.
I always keep an extra roll in the car.
Matt?
To go along with the traffic jams and stuff during the eclipse, the weekend of and the day of, the possibility of a delayed emergency response is possible. So just be patient with our first responders, the sheriff's department, police department. They're going to get to everybody as quick as they can and safely as they can, but there could be some delays in that. So be prepared for that.
I know Robert Gentry was talking to us a little bit about they're going to use the Weyerhaeuser roads to facilitate traveling quicker. But of course, remember, guys, if you go in the lease, lock your lease gates. They can go through the Weyerhaeuser part if they need to, but if you don't lock them, everybody's going to be on that road, and they won't be able to go that way.
We don't want visitors getting lost in the Weyerhaeuser property for us to have to go find them.
Well, and I think, too, if you haven't read RDOT's report on the traffic congestion, I mean, it's certainly worth a read. You know, 70 and 71 are going to be super congested, and so if you can start planning some alternative routes. And another thing, gas. You know, make sure you've got all your vehicles gassed up the week before. You know, there's a potential for a gas shortage. You know, it's just, I think we need to kind of go back to that COVID time period and kind of think about those shortages that we have and understand we may be presented with that.
The supply chain is not going to be just affected in Sevier County. It's going to be from Texas all the way across the state of Arkansas. So
it can
take a while to get that stuff back to normal.
Yeah.
But just to remember, it is not like COVID where we're talking weeks and weeks that you're going to be homebound. This is just for a short term. So, you know, while we do suggest you be prepared, don't go in and wipe all the stores out.
Just chill, right?
Don't buy all the toilet paper.
Yeah, because I need some for my car.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you all. We appreciate it so much.
All right, a big thanks to Angie Walker, Matt Webb, and Suzanne Babb for coming in to talk about all of that stuff going on with the eclipse. And I guess we move on back to high school sports. Let's talk about Dirks.
Well, the most notable thing about the Outlaws this week is we don't have Jeff Tuttle with us today, Greg.
I'm filling in.
We're missing King Tut. Although you do an admirable job.
Yes, thank you very much. We are missing our resident emperor.
But you know, he did send all his information in, which is a big help to us.
Nice. It is. He also sent word that Cody's upset with us. So.
Yeah. I will.
Outlaws.
Get in line.
Pardon?
Get in line.
Take a number. Outlaws, they had a split week as well. They beat Mineral 2-1 and lost to Falk 9-2. And Lady Outlaws, they played in the DMAC tournament, beat Poen and Prescott, and lost to Arkansas High and Hope. And we just talked about the Lady Cats of Hope, Greg, and it's easy to see how you could get behind the eight ball with them.
Yeah.
A lot of speed, very athletic. And like you said, if they'd had a key hit or two against us, that's a much different ball game.
Yeah, it really would have been. And I think they've got a good team. Our buddy Daniels is the coach there, and he also referees basketball games. We get to talk to him during those, but he does a good job.
Well, he is really pointed that program in the right direction. Mm-hmm. I got to give him credit for that.
Mm-hmm. And so it's, you know, losing to Arkansas High and Hope, much bigger schools than Dirks.
Yeah.
So it looks like they did pretty good, beat Poynton and Prescott. So a good week for the Lady Outlaws. Again, this week they're going to be on spring break. So not a lot of sports going on this week.
No.
There's a little bit. And
but not a lot.
Yeah.
And our buddy Jeffrey Mounts, Jeff Tuttle called him to get some help with the Toad Thumper Outlaw Player of the Week. And he went with Aspen Pugh, which I think is an excellent pick for the Lady Outlaws.
Yeah, yeah, she had a great week. And
had several hits, some key plays in the outfield that helped the Lady Outlaws get the two wins they got.
You know, and Tony, I may be mistaken about this. I think she just started playing.
Really?
Softball, yeah.
Huh. Kids are natural.
You know, that's Keith McKinney's granddaughter.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, congratulations, yeah. Aspen.
Yeah. But I think that congratulations to Aspen and a great week there. Looks like I was trying to look at my calendar real quick. Today is what? 18th. So there is going to be some baseball this week, Tony. It looks like, you know, if you – and, of course, that's more with – we'll be talking about that in a few minutes. So
right.
There is a little bit of sports going on this week, but not a whole lot with the spring break. And, you know, everybody has spring break at the same time. So congratulations to Aspen Pugh on being named the Toad Thumper Lure Outlaw Player of the Week. And we will conclude that, and we'll move on.
All right, moving on to Constantine River.
Well, the Eagles had a tough week, lost at Charleston 16-0, lost at Hackett 10-1, and are 0-3 on the year. The Lady Eagles lose at Charleston 17-0. And, of course, like everyone else, Greg, they're on spring break this week. So don't know anything about the Charleston Charlies or the Charleston Chews.
They're Tigers.
I know they are.
Yeah. But
missed opportunities, I'm going to say.
Yeah, I know. I will tell you this about Charleston. It's not bad to lose to them.
Yeah.
Because they have great athletic programs at Charleston.
Well, and that conference has a lot of mm-hmm. potential good nickname misses.
Yeah.
The Buddy Hackett's.
Yeah.
You're right.
Eagles hopefully get on track after the break. Our Union Bank Eagle Player of the Week is going to be Junior Landon Phillips.
All right.
Congratulations, Landon.
Yep, congratulations to Landon. And we're going to move on now to the Foreman Gators. Foreman Gators went 1-1 last week. They are 1-1. They won at Blevins 11-10. Lady Gators, no games last week. They're 1-1, and they're in spring break.
Right.
So our Horatio State Bank Gator Player of the Week is going to be senior Connor Smith. Congratulations to him, and we'll look forward to seeing what they do after coming out of the break here.
Yeah, and probably we'll have a lot more ball games coming out of the break.
Yeah.
And then the Horatio Lions, we've got a bunch of line information this week, and we really appreciate getting that. Lions are 3-5 on the year. They won at Mount Ida 15-0 this week, and had a big game. Rylan Pickett, he drives in four runs. Riley Williamson had a big game. Trey Smith, who we've talked about on this podcast numerous times, mm-hmm. had a big game. Leighton Ochoa had a big game. And Braden Scarborough, a big game for the Lions, doubled. And scored a run, pitched excellent. He's actually going to be our Horatio State Bank Line a Player of the Week.
You're giving it away early, man.
I know. I'm sorry about that.
That's okay.
But I've just got kidding. So much line news, I feel like I've got to get it all in.
Yeah, I understand. But, you know, when you win 15-0, just about everybody has a good game.
Yeah.
Right?
That's right.
And there were a lot of Lions that had great games.
And then I wouldn't know if I would call it a tournament on the 23rd, Saturday the 23rd, but it's where they've invited 8 teams in, and they're going to have a series of ball games. The Mina is going to play Spring Hill at 10 a.m., Genoa Central, and Dale at 12:30. Then Horatio is going to take on Wachita at 3, Murfreesboro versus Taylor at 5:30. So, you know, just a good chance for Lion fans to catch a lot of baseball on the 23rd.
Yeah, yep. And you know, that's probably in Southwest Arkansas, that's going to be the only sports this week.
That will be the only show in town.
Yeah. I know Ashdown's going up to Little Rock to play Thursday, Friday, Saturday, I think. But that's going to be the only thing around here.
Yeah. Lady Lions go 3-1 on the week, and they're 8-3 overall. They beat Falk 2-1. They beat Mount Ida 9-2. They lose to Stuttgart 6-2. And I'm gonna let you have that last name.
Potosi.
There. Potosi. Where is that?
I don't know.
Is it Louisiana? Oklahoma?
I think. Okay. I don't know that.
They beat them 11-6. So Lady Lions have a good week. And much like we talked about the Lady Panthers and Lady Leopards, Greg, the Lady Lions and the Lady Leopards seem to be on a collision course. Two really good lady softball teams. Yeah. And that they've got a couple of games coming up in the near future. So congratulations to the Lions and the Lady Lions on a great week where they go a combined 4-1 on the week.
Yeah, great week for them. And congratulations to Braden Scarborough, our Horatio State Bank Lion Player of the Week.
Yep.
Very cool.
And so I think that rounds up all the high school action, Tony, unless you've got something that I missed. We talked with Jim Cross a little bit about the conferences that are going to be in basketball,
right,
and the spring sports, and a little bit of changing. I mean, you now Dirk's, Foreman, and Horatio, they're all in 2A7, which I don't know that there's that much change in that conference.
No, it looks like they've kept that conference pretty much the same. It'd have been interesting to get King Tut's thoughts on that.
Yeah.
And we still may next week.
Yeah, and we might I'm not going to say that because I don't know. Costa River looks like they're still in pretty much the same conference they've been in.
Yeah, although that is now a 9-team league before?
It may have been in basketball because Subiaco,
right,
is just boys.
Okay. Okay.
See, they're just boys.
Right. That's a
private school.
Right.
And it may have been for that. But, you know, that's one of the things that I noticed about this and one of the things that bothered me. I mentioned it a little bit when we talked to Jim Cross. You know, you look at these now, they used to even them all out. They're not all even now.
Well, you can't make everybody happy that way.
Well, they're not making me happy anyway. Because here's the deal is, you know, if you're going to knock us down to six teams, knock us down to 5 and put Camden Fairview over in 4A8.
Totally,
because that's where they belong.
I mean,
it's too long a drive, Tony. Yep. You know, and if you're gonna, if you want to swap some around, put Fountain Lake in our conference.
Right.
It
makes too much sense.
Yeah. I mean, they took Malvern out of our conference.
Yeah.
And put them over there with Fountain Lake, but they didn't take
Somebody's
Camden
Somebody's listening
Fairview.
To their phone calls.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the closer you get to Little Rock, the more they get listened to.
Yeah.
That's what it is. So, you know, we our tin can and a string doesn't reach that far. So, you know, we don't really get a whole lot of it there. But I'm just saying.
The whole arrogance that we know what's best for you guys more than you do. We don't want to give you any freedom in schedule making because we know.
Yeah.
You don't know. We know.
Yeah.
And that arrogance just irritates me.
Yep. Yeah, and I think, you know,
biting my tongue right now.
Yeah. Well, we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens, but I think they could have done a better job.
I totally agree, as usual.
And you know, what's going to come up, what else we got coming up though is we've got NCAA basketball action, man.
That's exactly right.
The tournament's starting. Now, I mean, it's really exciting time of the year. It starts tonight. With the first four in,
yeah.
And then the real tournament, what I call the real tournament, starts Thursday. I just want to go over some of these games, and we may skip over some of them.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not going to talk about UConn and Stetson.
Well, why not?
Well, because, I mean, come on. If you want to, I will. But I will. I'm going to mention every game. If you want to talk about one, you talk about it. Okay.
But that's fair.
You too, Tyler.
All right.
And so we mentioned that you got Northwestern and Florida Atlantic. I'm going to tell you, watch out.
Yeah.
Florida Atlantic's going to put it on Northwestern.
Well, Florida Atlantic's one of those, you know, in football we call them G5 schools, the non-power schools, mm-hmm. and they are maybe the best team in Conference USA, probably the best team in Conference USA. And mm-hmm. I'm telling you what, you get the leftovers in the state of Florida, you're going to be pretty good at basketball.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And you know the thing about it is what they're going to get for beating Northwestern is they're going to get to play UConn. So that's not a really great present for that. But anyway, I think they're going to do well in that game. Pick them if you got questions. You got San Diego State and UAB. You know, San Diego State in the Final Four last year. They were a fifth seed last year. They're a fifth seed again. You know what that tells me? There's no way they'll be in the Final Four this year. Happening once is one thing. It's not going to happen again.
I think that you're probably right.
You know
right.
what? I will. If I were a betting man, I would bet on UAB here.
UAB, another one. Yeah. See, that's the debate. Mm-hmm. You know, Conference USA gets two teams in. Of course, now Florida International, Atlantic now is in the American, but they was in Conference USA for years. UAB
won their tournament.
Yeah, and they're in the American as well mm-hmm. now. So two good basketball schools, man. And you're right. It would not shock me if both those schools go on to at least the round of 32.
Yeah. Auburn and Yale is another game. While I would love to see Auburn lose, it's just because I love Bruce Pearl that much. I don't think that's going to happen.
I will tell you this. I wonder if Yale plays a lot like Princeton, where you hold the ball, you throw the ball around.
Yeah, they do, and they're going to frustrate Auburn, and the game will be closer. Don't take the points.
Okay, very good.
But I mean, you know, because I think it won't be as
high scoring.
Yeah. So then you've got BYU and Duquesne, which I can't even pronounce it, so we're not going to talk about them. Illinois, Morehead State. People are saying how good Illinois is.
Don't sleep on Morehead.
Yeah, that's what I say,
yeah.
too. That may be the 314.
Upset.
Yeah.
Yep, I agree.
That's what I think, too. You got Washington State and Drake at 7:10 there, and Iowa State playing South Dakota State. Iowa State looked as good as any basketball team I've seen when they played yesterday.
Yes.
Yeah, man, they just wore Houston out.
They did, and I saw Houston fans. I'm in a Big 12 chat room, and I saw Houston fans online saying, well, we laid down. We knew we were going to get a number one seed anyway. We rested our kids. You got wore out. you got taken to the cleaners. Don't sit there and say stuff.
Hey,
I'm
gonna tell you this. They scored 23 points in the first half, which is a great job by Iowa State. In the middle of the second half, they only had 28.
Yeah.
Now they scored some more once it didn't matter as much. But,
right.
But I mean, they just defended them so well. Iowa State's going to be a tough out, I think. North Carolina's playing Howard. North Carolina's there. Mississippi State and Michigan State can't. You know, I'm going to say I'm going to go with Tom Izzo here.
Well, best first round matchup, maybe.
Probably
because you know, Mississippi State as of late playing pretty good.
They are,
and of course Michigan State a perennial. You know, it's hard to tell how many times in the last 30 years they've been in an NCAA tournament. I'd say. 25 easy, and that's going to be a really good ball game.
Yeah, you're right, it is. And then you got on the other side St. Mary's and Grand Canyon, which St. Mary's playing really well.
Yeah, they are.
If you
they've kind of taken that Gonzaga mm-hmm. moniker as the best small school in the West.
Yep.
Yep.
Yeah, they have. And Alabama playing Charleston. I think Alabama can win that game. Then they're going to get to play St. Mary's, which I think that 4-5 matchup is going to be interesting.
Yeah.
I hope that's who plays because they both are high-scoring, run-up-down-the-floor teams, and I love to watch that one. I don't care who wins.
Yep.
So Clemson, New Mexico, you know, here's another one where I'm going with the lower seed. I'm taking New Mexico. They're playing really well.
They are.
They've got Rick Pitino's son, Richard Pitino, is out there coaching New Mexico. And if you don't watch the Lobos, year in, year out, they're really good.
Yeah, they are.
That's a team to look at. Baylor, Colgate. I can hope for Colgate to win, but probably Baylor's going to win that game. 7-10 seed here is Dayton in Nevada.
Nevada, another school that's always in the NCAA tournament.
Yeah,
but, you know, the thing is, a lot of people, if the only thing you know about college sports is college football, a lot of the schools we're talking about are going to say, well, they don't got a prayer. I'm telling you,
yeah,
basketball is the place where it moves people closer together.
Yeah.
The best, you know, NCAA basketball team, whoever ends up that may be, is not that much better than the 100th best NCAA basketball team who's not even in the tournament.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. The other side of that's Arizona and Long Beach State, and I looked at for Arizona to underperform as they have in the past.
so mean.
I
lived there.
Being factual, yeah.
And I'm going with
that
them.
That may be why they underperform.
Well, I'm going with them.
Okay, you can.
All right.
Now that they've shed Tyler.
Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe now that they've shed
all the dead weight.
You know,
250 pounds of nonsense they lost.
I'm
being nice to myself.
Yeah,
260.
Looking at the other side of the bracket, you got Houston versus Longwood. I don't even know where Longwood is, Tony. I've never heard of that school.
If I had to guess, and I don't either, I'd say it's in the Carolinas. But
I don't know. But I mean, Houston. You know, at the other side of that, Nebraska, Texas A&M. I look for Texas A&M to put it on Nebraska.
I would agree with that.
What are their team names?
The Cornhuskers
and the Aggies.
I don't know. The Cornhuskers got scythes.
Yeah. The Aggies got guns.
And the Aggies, they can march in formation better than anybody I've ever
That's
seen.
Right. Okay. All right. That's right. So moving down to the bottom of that bracket, Wisconsin facing James Madison. See you later, Wisconsin. James Madison, 30-3.
I'm telling you what, if I'm Wisconsin, I'm very disappointed with that draw.
Yeah.
Because James Madison won 31 games this year for a reason.
I'm just saying, I've never heard a man with such a losing record speak so confidently on picks. He's like, goodbye, Wisconsin.
I'm just telling you.
Congratulations to Wisconsin for winning
the whole
thing.
Instead of on Wisconsin, it's off Wisconsin. Yeah.
Hey, I'm just telling you, I think James Madison's got a really good team.
Okay. And if
I'm picking them.
There is no way that Wisconsin was excited about that draw.
No.
And that's Wisconsin, a 5-12, is that right?
Yeah, it's 5-12.
That's a terrible draw if you're the 5.
Oh, and then you got the other side of that. You got Duke and Vermont. Move on. Texas Tech and North Carolina State. North Carolina State won their tournament, 5 wins, 5 days, beat all kinds of great basketball teams. And I think they're going to have a hard time revamping, getting back up again to go. Texas Tech plays good basketball.
Kind of reminds you, though, of their run they had with Jim Valvano. They kind of come out of nowhere. They're like a 10 seed.
Yep.
And they come out and they win the national championship. What's their seeding this
11.
Year? Yeah.
Yeah. So. I mean, you know, it's always a possibility.
They're hotter than a firecracker.
They are hot.
You win the ACC tournament.
Yeah,
you're doing hotter than a firecracker.
Yep. Other side of that, Kentucky and Oakland. Kentucky has had some injuries. They're finally healthy now. I think they're playing better now. I look for them to make a run,
I'll
at least to the
what,
Sweet
man.
16.
I'm a big – I don't even know what Oakland's nickname is, but I'm a big fan.
Yeah, me too. I didn't say I wasn't a fan. So, then you got Florida playing the winner of Colorado and Boise State. Now, I don't know anything about Boise State, but I do know that last night that the commentators were really upset that they were in the last four in.
Yeah,
that they felt like they should have got placed better than that.
Yeah.
Have you ever been through Boise?
He has. He's been too, but he went there on purpose.
I did.
What?
On a bus.
Yeah.
Oh.
I'll tell you one day about it. It was awesome.
I think I need to be older to hear that story.
I was actually with another fraternity brother and two majorettes.
I see. All right.
So.
You sure they weren't majors?
No, they were majors.
Okay.
I've got pictures.
Anyway, I see Florida winning that game. I don't really know a lot about Boise State and Colorado.
Yeah.
But anyway, whoever wins it gets to play Marquette, and I do know a lot about them. They're playing Marquette, playing Western Kentucky. That game will be closer than you think it's going to be.
It is the Hilltoppers, man. Mm-hmm. They are tough out, and they have one of the best mascots in college sports.
Yeah,
the Red Blob.
That's right.
Oh.
Number one seed in the next bracket, Purdue. They're playing Grambling and Montana State. Grambling's got a great basketball team. They're not going to play with Purdue, though. Another good matchup, 8-9 matchup, TCU and Utah State. I think that's going to be a really good matchup.
Utah State, another one of those teams who's always in the NCAA tournament, always seeded in the bottom half, and is going to be a tough out for somebody.
Yep. And so moving on down, the 5-12 in this one's Gonzaga and McNeese State. And you know I'm a big Gonzaga.
I know. They're in all kinds McNeese of trouble. Scares. They're in three kinds of trouble.
McNeese, I think McNeese may win this game.
I
would not pick against
it. It would not surprise me a bit.
Yeah. And then you got Kansas and Samford. I'm going for Samford here.
Well, what about
the
Suns?
Win. I just pull it on. What'd you say?
I said, what about his sons?
Yeah, it's the Samford Lamonts, I believe, is their.
I'm sorry.
The Gradys.
I wish I could participate better in this.
You're doing good. Okay, here we go. South Carolina, Oregon, Tony.
I'll tell you, that's a great matchup. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a great first round matchup. I always perceive, and I could be wrong about this, that the West Coast teams are a little overrated and the SEC teams are a little underrated. I think SEC plays better competition during the year. I would probably go with South Carolina.
Yeah, me too. Then you got Creighton and Akron, which Creighton, as everybody's saying, might have should have been a two seed.
Well, I'm just not a big Creighton.
Nah, me either.
Because Dana Altman had the Marshall job for like one day. And then went to Creighton.
Well, you know he did the same thing to Arkansas.
I know he did. Yeah, I know he did.
He's at
Bobby
Oregon,
Petrino.
Right? Now he's at Oregon, I think, isn't he?
Huh?
He's at Oregon now.
Yeah, but it turned me from Creighton for the rest of my life.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sorry, Blue Jays.
Yeah.
It just turned me.
I don't know. So then you go down to Texas, gets Colorado State or Virginia. I think Texas better hope Colorado State wins.
Yeah, because Virginia plays that wacky style where, you know, the game's going to be in the high 40s, low 50s, and Texas ain't going to deal well with that. They're just not.
Nope. And the other side, that's Tennessee and St. Peter's. Again, I think Tennessee will be very frustrated by St. Peter's.
They will, but Tennessee's also one of those teams that go on a run and win the whole thing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying they'd lose. I just think I just think it's not. If you think they're going to blow them out, and they may by
there's
the time the game's over.
There's very few blowouts in the NCAA tournament.
Yeah.
And there's usually at least one 3-14. And then when you go 4-13, 5-12, there's even more upsets.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't there a 1-16 last year?
There was.
Year? Yeah. So, I mean.
First time.
None of these are give-me's.
Yeah. Yeah. But that pretty much ends it there. You want to go with your Sweet 16? You want to talk about that or you want to do that?
Tuttle is sending his. So let's go through that next week.
Okay.
I'm put everybody on the honor system.
Okay.
Well, No.
Especially with nothing on the line.
Hey, there's mine right here.
Yeah. Okay.
You can hold on to that.
We're going to put this in a mayonnaise jar and bury it in my backyard.
Yeah, there you go. So we'll talk about the Sweet 16 next week and who we picked, see how we did against
King picked?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What about Jake Paul? He's fighting Mike Tyson.
Yeah, that sounds really interesting.
Doesn't it?
Yeah, I think.
Wow.
I don't want anybody to be unalived, but I'm afraid that he might.
Yeah.
Mike Tyson could hit you one time, even at 70 years old.
Oh, 87, I thought you meant Mike Tyson might be going to.
No.
Y'all are crazy.
You think so?
Yeah. The man's 60.
Crazy enough.
He's
going to
be 61 when they fight. You know?
I don't care if he's 80.
You can look at all that that footage that's sped up. I don't know. I'm not a Jake Paul fan, believe me, but I fear for him in there. You know?
Mike Tyson?
Yeah. I mean, Evander Holyfield just fought. He's 62, so whatever. But and he lost, and he it looked terrible.
I watched some footage of they still call it footage of Tyson training.
Mm-hmm.
I tell you what, man.
I've been watching it. I've been watching it. I hope Mike Tyson wins for sure, but he's stepping in there with a super young, really strong guy who's got a lot of reach on him and is bigger than him.
Only takes one.
Yeah.
Only takes one.
We'll see. Now, I'll tell you that it's going on here in a couple months, but I'll tell you what the biggest thing about it is to me, they're doing it on Netflix, which Netflix should have gone into live sports 10 years ago. So no matter what, Jake Paul and Mike Tyson, they're going to make a lot of money and they're going to blow open some doors for live sports on Netflix.
If you can put the NFL playoffs on Peacock, you can put some sports on Netflix.
Yeah. And Netflix is going to grab up exclusive rights. And I think if this goes really well, you might see something like that. You might see them be able to, like, you might see the Super Bowl on Netflix one year instead of, maybe not. I mean, those massive Fox, you know, ABC or whatever, those massive networks that got a lot of money. But Netflix got a lot of money, too. They've got to have as much money as those other ones.
I could see something maybe like the NBA playoffs, something like that, being mm-hmm. first.
Yeah.
But man, you just never know. Who would have thought even 10, 15 years ago that cable and Dish and DirecTV just about obsolete.
Yeah.
Just about obsolete because of streaming.
Yeah.
And I've got all my TV streaming and I love it. Mm-hmm. I like it better than I ever liked cable or Dish or DirecTV.
I've talked to some people and they're like, oh, hasn't Netflix been doing? No. I mean, it's crazy that their first foray into like live sports is going to be Jake Paul and Mike Tyson. I mean, it's a bit of a freak show fight to me.
Well, there's a little bit of difference, but you know, there's a little bit of difference between doing something live and, mm-hmm. and doing what they've done in the past.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you've got to have all the cameras, you got to have the announcers, mm-hmm. you got to have, you know, there's a lot of stuff to that. And I'm sure they probably built up to it and decided that this was a good thing to go into it and they'll see how it goes. Mm-hmm. And if it goes well, which I can't see how it wouldn't.
I think it's going to do amazing.
Talk about subscriptions. Peacock subscriptions went through the roof when they had a playoff game on Peacock. And it'll do the same for Netflix.
YouTube TV.
Yeah.
They probably have no subscriber count until the finals come in NBA. And then it, you know, I subscribed for a month, you know, so I could watch the finals. Mm-hmm. And I quickly ditched it because it's $90 for, you know, what I can watch on the rest of my other streaming services, you know. But you can only watch that there.
Right.
So
YouTube TV is incredible for sports, though.
It is good.
It is the best. If you're just a sports fan, mm-hmm. it's the best.
Right. Mm-hmm. But me, who's just like, I was just trying to watch the finals somewhere, you know, which I'm sure a lot of people join in on that.
Right.
Anyway, I thought the whole Netflix thing is going to be pretty interesting.
I think you're exactly
right. Well, I'm going to tell you this. For sports fans, this is the greatest time ever.
Mm.
Because
it's the most wonderful time
it really is.
Of the year.
Because you can get anything. Mm-hmm. I mean, Tony's talked about it.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, and no offense to Marshall, but when you can get every game Marshall plays in the Queen of Arkansas,
mm-hmm.
That's a big deal.
That's a new thing. I mean, what did you have to do back in the day? Tape
well,
it?
When I first came out here, unless they were on, you know, Conference USA had a deal with CBS Sports Network, and unless they were one of the two or three conference games on that week, I didn't get to watch it.
Yeah.
And then eventually Marshall got its own streaming service, and I was able to watch, and it was like watching, I mean, DQTV puts it to shame.
Oh, wow.
it's incredible. And but now with ESPN Plus, Dad and I, we can be picky. We can just watch the Marshall wins.
Yeah.
I mean, I love it.
Yeah.
ESPN Plus is
huge, right?
Yeah.
I mean, if you're a
fan of a small school mm-hmm. who doesn't get on network TV a lot, it's a must.
Yeah.
Well, it's not only a plus, it's a must.
It saves it, right? You know, you don't have to tape it like you used to.
That's exactly right. We can sit whenever, you know, Dad always has time. Sometimes I don't, and we can sit and watch them whenever
mm-hmm.
we want.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and the thing about it is it's not just ESPN. I mean, Fox mm-hmm. has got it to you. I mean, you get two or three of those different things, you got everything.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I was watching, and I know this is going to really excite you, but I was watching Roy McElroy's group play golf yesterday. Mm. Strictly his group. They just followed him ESPN Plus.
Yeah.
And that's a cool thing to do if you're kind of a fan of one of the golfers.
Just for a little while. You know, I didn't watch it for a long time, but I did. I mean, it's just that's how specific it is. Mm-hmm. And you know, and you get on there. I was going to watch the Razorbacks play baseball yesterday afternoon. You know, I look and there's like 40 games.
Yeah. All live.
And this is baseball.
Yeah.
You know,
college baseball.
I mean, used to, you didn't even get baseball on the radio.
Yeah. Yep.
You know, and especially here, we talked about that on the radio about not being able to get a good reception for radio baseball for the Razorbacks. You can watch them on there.
Yeah.
And you know, and
just right off your phone.
Yeah.
You know, like in the doctor's office. And like, it's crazy because there's old sports highlights that we're relying on some people on like YouTube that they taped it and uploaded it. That's all we have of it.
Yesterday, we watch girls softball, Marshall and Georgia Southern. It's at the Dot in Huntington. There's probably 500 people there watching it. But how many people are watching it? Like we are, you know, it's just opened up a whole new audience to all these college sports.
And that's why DQTV is so awesome, too. Absolutely. And the way other high school places do it, like if you're on vacation for a week and you're a huge Leopards fan, more than not, you're going to be able to watch the game, you know. So it's just crazy.
Notch.
Crazy. You're right. It's probably the best time to be a sports DQTV. Fan, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. Yeah. I mean, you know, and I enjoy it immensely. Mm-hmm.
Yep. And I'm excited to see where Netflix and sports will be in like 5 years after this.
Yeah. Well, now it's only going to get better. Yeah. I can tell you that.
Yeah.
Now, it may cost more money.
Right.
But, you know, that's the thing. You know, you
got. They know they got desperate people that, like me that want to watch the sports.
One of the things
I'm going to start making decisions.
I think they'll get in their niches. So maybe Netflix is boxing and UFC maybe, you know, or something like that. Because, you know, these things move around. You know, you get, you know, Fox may take something away from ESPN. ESPN takes something away from CBS. And, you know, they move it around.
Well, the crazy thing about boxing is there's no one promoter. Yeah. Every single one of them is a one-off. I mean, every big fight that you see.
I wonder if that's an advantage or disadvantage.
I think it's a disadvantage because there's all these things that happen. Like, okay, so let's say I'm trying to get into boxing, right? And there's a big boxing match. Or look at, you know, Mike Tyson versus Jake Paul. I want to watch that. Who's fighting on the undercard? You won't know until the day of. They don't, because these promoters don't care. They don't put it out there. It's some promotion you've never heard of. They're only doing one thing. Everybody makes $1 million, and then it's like going out of business.
Well, Greg,
every
and I
one
remember
of them.
The day where the heavyweight fights, the heavyweight championship, they were on network TV.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And everybody knew who the heavyweight champion of the world was. When was Ali and Frazier and Foreman and
Tyson?
Yeah, and not like that anymore.
No, it's completely changed. And the one thing I didn't consider, the one thing I didn't look up before we talked about this is I don't know if Netflix is also going to be doing a pay-per-view. I didn't think about that. Because if they do, then it's like, never mind.
I don't think that drives up your subscribership like just putting it out there.
No, they should just put it out there.
I agree.
Then you're going to have people who have to join Netflix and then get the pay-per-view. It's as frustrating as ESPN is with the UFC fights, that I have to not only be a member of ESPN Plus, I have to then buy, which I'm fine with, but if somebody wants to just buy the pay-per-view, they also have to subscribe to ESPN Plus. So your pay-per-view automatically goes up $15. Add that on top. So now we're talking about $95 for a pay-per-view. It's crazy. Anyway.
I pay more.
Yeah, I guess so.
Not often, but
yeah.
But for a boxing match, I have.
Yeah, and then now they got the new boxing service right now is DAZN, which is
you go
terrible.
To get chips and it's over.
What's that?
You go get chips.
Exactly.
That's Tyson knocks him out.
People hated paying for Tyson fights. You know?
Yeah. And you can understand why.
Absolutely. And there was no rewind.
No.
You missed it.
That's right. It's all over. Right. But, you know, a great time to be a sports fan. Not only for TV, but also in Southwest Arkansas. Weather's great. Get out and support your local teams. that they can use the support. And man, it's been beautiful.
It has been.
Yeah. So I think that's probably about it for this episode. We appreciate everyone listening. We appreciate our sponsors. And most of all, we appreciate the kids that give us something to talk about each week. We'll see you next week.
See you next week.